the Ion Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. I have Matt Moore, fresh off a wild night of picking games. Matt, how's it going?
6-1, baby. 6-1 last night. The only one I missed was the Thunder losing to the Wizards, which nobody could have anticipated. I feel great this morning. It was like my best night of picks this year. I am thrilled.
Man, you know, I don't know. I think that Thunder Wizards game was pretty obvious.
Yeah, right. Who didn't see that coming? Who didn't see Martell Webster 4-point play?
I like that Durant just admitted, like, we didn't take them seriously.
Yeah, I like that. I like it when guys are just like, yeah, come on, it's the NBA. Like, you don't get up for games. Some games you don't get up for.
Yeah.
Man, and they're learning that. That's kind of an interesting thing that they're trying to learn as a contender now. But I mean, the Wizards really played well. They honestly played well. The Thunder played terribly.
Yeah.
Went like 11 minutes with that field goal.
That's not the best strategy.
No.
Going almost a full quarter.
It's not really so much a drought as it is a dust bowl.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then, so from there, like, I was like, okay, it's going to be one of those nights. But then, those Celtics came through for me because I picked them.
Yeah.
Because it was 7.5, and I was like, that's way too high. And then the Hornets, which I told you yesterday. What did I say yesterday? I said the Hornets played that team tough against San Antonio. Big win. Rivas Vasquez was amazing. Eric Gordon was incredible. Anthony Davis. I like that team a lot, despite them being terrible.
I mean, the Spurs shot 28%. I don't know how much was the Hornets, you know, bringing it at them and how much was just bad shooting.
Well, I think that their defensive schemes in general with Monty Williams are pretty good. And I feel like their balance, they're better on both sides of the ball with Gordon. Like, they don't have to do as much offensively, and that allows them to do more defensively. I mean, yeah, the Spurs had a bad night shooting, but I don't know. I feel like they played pretty well, and they really attacked him. And Eric Gordon's block was amazing.
Yeah, no. I mean, they played well, but I felt like the Spurs got plenty of shots that they wanted. I mean, Danny Green goes 0-for-4 from 3, didn't score in 20 minutes. Like,
maybe he thought they were the Thunder.
Maybe he did. Maybe he was having flashbacks.
That's a little special out there for the guys over at 48 Minutes of Hell. And then the Bulls came through for me, covered against the Cavaliers because the Cavaliers are awful.
That's shocking. That was the shocking game of the night, that the Cavaliers were terrible against a good team.
and then from there, things got crazy because the Jazz and the Magic game both got really nuts.
Yeah.
And the Jazz are down like 7. Inside in the fourth quarter, and I'm freaking out. And then they tie the game, but then I'm like, they have to cover 5, and they just pull ahead. Like, the Mavericks just, and OJ Mayo kept shooting threes in the last minute when they were clearly going to lose. And I'm like throwing things at the TV, being like, Mayo, no. And luckily he missed. I covered there, and the Magic game like killed me because, you know, they're down I think 3 with like 10 seconds to go. And, you know, they were down late, and then they came back and tied it. And then, like, Jameer puts him up, I think, by 2. And then, like, or no, it was Lillard put the other team up, and I was like, okay. No, yeah, Jameer tied it, and then Lillard had a chance to win it. And I was like, if Lillard wins this game, the Magic cover.
Yeah.
I was like, if he wins it right now, but if it goes to overtime, I can lose. And so I'm like, I'm rooting for Lillard to hit the shot, but not at all. Like, all I want to do is for the game to be locked in at that score. And he misses, of course, and then goes to overtime and is amazing in the first 5 minutes. I'm like, oh, now you're awesome. You know, and he blows the doors off of it, and then they're down, you know, it's inside like a minute, and they're down like 9. Well, I switch over to the Grizzlies game to watch the end of that.
And to watch the end of a 30-point game.
Yeah, that's who I am. I don't feel bad about it. And I come back. I think I also like brought my wife some water or something. Anyway, like I come. Oh no! It was my wife called me upstairs because Rafi from the league.
Yeah.
Has a guest appearance on Parks and Rec.
Okay.
And she was watching the show and was like, because we've been like freaking out over the league for the last month. So she was like, look. And then I was all, at this time I was also like, that's awesome. Scott Skiles just got fired and Melo tried to kill KG. I gotta go. Well, anyway, I come back downstairs, and I see the final score, and it's 6, and the line was 6.5, because Redick hit it like a last minute 3.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yes. So I it was great last night. I'm very enthused about it. You know who's not enthused about things? Carmelo Anthony.
He kind of lost his excrement last night. They got tangled up. Melo and KG get tangled up on, I don't know, he starts trying to front him, he's playing good post defense, they're just playing physical. KG apparently said something. Let's just say about cereal.
Which we're not going to talk about here.
We're just going to say
what the rumor is he said.
We're just going to say he talked about cereal. And, allegedly. And Melo was just set off. Probably didn't help that they lost the game. Because that can refire the engine of hatred.
And they lost because Melo shot like 700 isolation pull-up threes over two guys.
Yeah, 6 of 26 on the night. That's thunder-esque in the Monday night basketball world. That was not good. And then apparently Melo was waiting for KG, I guess just trying to escort him to the airplane. He was just waiting for him.
So many amazing things about it. So he goes back. He follows him into the tunnel. He's going after him. Tyson Chandler tries to hold him back. He brushes Tyson off. KG, through this entire thing, and you know, like, I usually get on KG about his antics, especially about him starting stuff and then not wanting to finish it. But I love the fact that KG's like, no, like, we're not fighting. It's like the Gross Point Blank line. Like, do you really think there's some sort of stored up conflict between us? There is no us.
Right.
We don't exist.
Right.
You know, he just goes in the locker room, and then he goes, you know, and then Melo waits for him at the bus. And apparently, and there's like 700 cops there.
Yeah.
There's 700 cops. The next PR is there. Coach Woodson comes out to stop him. The National Guard is called in. Like, MI6 is there. Everyone is between Melo and KG. Like, there's no possible way. And KG's just like, nope, getting on the bus.
Godzilla walked by at one point and was like, dude, Melo, calm down.
Chill out.
Yeah.
My favorite part, there's video out from CSN. My favorite part of it is right at the end. Rajon Rondo just casually strolls up and hangs out and looks over at Melo.
Oh, you know Rajon was just loving that entire scene.
Yeah, just loving it. Just, you mad, bro? That's all he was doing there. Is you mad, bro?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was one of those things where a guy, you know, the referees kind of like get out of hand. Because when they were battling in the post, what happened, and I think it started because of whatever comment KG made to him before, but
yeah, I'm not really quite clear when the comment was made.
Because, like, all I know is I saw it because I was like, whoa, they're really going at it, and I captured it because what I saw was, first all I saw was, you know, they're battling, and then KG turns around to go for the rebound, and Melo just, like, slams into KG's back.
Yeah.
Just right on, and no foul is called. You know, KG kind of looks, and then KG looks back at him like, what are you doing? And then they're talking. And this is one of the things I love, because people are like, oh, come on, you can't give him a double text just for talking. And here's my thing. If you don't know what is said, don't say that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem I have, is when people are like, oh, he didn't do anything. He didn't deserve the tech. It's like, you never know what they said.
And you can say, well, there's nothing he could have said. No. There are things you can say to a person.
There's plenty you can say.
Somebody that deals with language for a living. There are things you can say to a person.
Yeah, I don't really understand the idea that just because, you know, you don't bump a referee or you don't push someone or something that you can't get a tech. Like, there are plenty of things that I've heard, you know, sitting relatively close to the court where you're like, wow, that didn't get a technical? Yeah. I mean, there are plenty of things that can be said. There is a line that referees will definitely draw. And especially, I feel like it's more so in players dealing with players rather than players complaining to referees. Because they are so sensitive about a fight breaking out.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think that, you know, and so that started, and then I went back and watched it, and we've got gifs of it all over the place on CBS this morning. KG actually went high on him, and that was what set Melo into another level, was they're battling, and KG throws a high elbow.
Yeah.
And that was when Melo, like, went nuts and was just, like, he really started to battle him and, you know, was throwing elbows back, and no fouls, and then, it, you know, and from there it kind of carried on. I have a question. Why do the Celtics play so well without Rajon Rondo? And this is not a... Are the Celtics better without Rajon Rondo? I want to understand the dynamic of it, because I get the our guy is gone, we got a rally thing, but I'm always surprised that it never fails.
I think that's it. If you had Rondo out for a month, it wouldn't be the same thing. But you can rally for a game, two games. Like, you can rally for a relatively short amount of time. Especially, like, the Knicks played like crap. I mean, aside from Tyson Chandler. And, I mean,
they really miss Raymond Felton.
Yeah, J.R. Smith shot a lot and ended up scoring a lot. But, you know, he didn't have exactly his most efficient game. Other than Chandler, like, no one really played well. And I think that lends itself to really, I mean, Paul Pierce had a good game. There's just so many things you couldn't expect.
Paul Pierce's kiss to the crowd was pretty nice.
That was fantastic.
That was pretty nice. I enjoyed that. So yeah, I mean, big win for the Celtics, and Melo's got to get some sort of discipline. You can't go back.
Yeah, you can't really carry it beyond the court there. Especially if he's going.
Knicks writers are like, well, he didn't do anything. Like, you know, it'd be preposterous for him to get punished for this. And you know, it's like, look at the video. He's not doing anything. And it's, well, yeah, but he wanted to. Like,
right, yeah. I mean, if he was allowed. Well, actually, I don't really believe that if he was allowed to, he would have done anything. Neither of those guys really want to fight and risk, one, injury due to a fight, and two, the money they'd have to give up. Yes, they make a lot of money, but most guys don't want to fight because they know that they're going to get punished with, you know, a pretty severe. If they get suspended a game, that's a huge game check from those two guys. Like, nobody, it's really not worth it to either of them to do something. And I think that's kind of why, you know, part of it is KG instigating and then being like, no, we're fine. I don't want to do anything, because that just pisses guys off more.
Yep.
And so that's a perfect way for him to play it. And ultimately, like, I just don't believe Melo's the type of guy to go out and fight. And I know KG's certainly not the type of guy to just go out and fight for no reason. Like, I don't know. I didn't buy it. It's easy to look tough.
Russ Bankston this morning on Twitter said, if you get so mad that you want to fight KG in the parking lot, KG's already won.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm just glad they didn't, that they weren't. They were kept separated, because if they had come into an altercation, and what would have happened is the speed from each of them slapping each other and then running in the opposite direction would have created a vortex that could have just collapsed MSG.
You know the wind tunnel, like kind of the wind tunnel effect at the end of Aliens?
Yeah.
When the alien gets sucked out? I mean, Jason Kidd would have been gone. There's no way he can hold on to that.
Yeah. I mean, we could have lost, literally, Spike Lee could have been lost. It would have been devastating.
Yeah. Oh, Spike Lee's gone. He's gone if that happens. We'd never find him again. He's so little.
I don't know. At some level, though, it's probably better than me. Who would, like, if KG wanted to fight me, I would just be like, well, can we talk about this? Like, I'm really sorry. Like, you know, and even I've said this before on Twitter. You know, I've said all this stuff about KG's antics in terms of fighting and running away. But if KG did hit me once, I would just crumble into air.
Yeah, no, you would be dust. What's funny is, I mean, KG was probably confident because he saw that Melo couldn't hit anything all night, so he's probably just swinging and missing at that point.
Oh God, what a terrible next game. You know who's not fighting at all anymore?
I would say the Bucks and Scott Skiles.
The Bucks and Scott Skiles are no longer fighting.
This had to happen. This was probably...
I'm sad. I'm shocked and sad.
Really? You're shocked?
I am, because they're 500. Like, what coach walks away from a 500? Like, it's not like they weren't a championship contender that somehow was 500. It was, you know, they'll probably be a slightly below 500 team. And, hey, they were pretty good for a while. And,
this is, you know, you know, this isn't indicative of all Bucks fans, but there seems to be a large majority of Bucks fans that I interact with on Twitter that just hate this team. Like, even with them being decent, like, they're just like, this team sucks. This team is not fun to watch. Like, they suck the life out of everything. And part of that was Skiles coaching. But and what's funny is I was thinking, like, well, maybe without Skiles now, they can really push the pace and become more of a run and gun team. And I look, they're like eighth or ninth in pace. Like, this team just isn't fun to watch.
I don't understand why people say that. I think they're really fun to watch.
No, they're not.
Why?
Name one player that is prominently involved within the flow of that offense that is fun to watch.
I'm sorry. Monta Ellis is fun to watch when he gets going.
He's fun to watch because he's not on your team.
I don't know. I like Jennings. I like Monta. I mean, yeah, they're not as efficient as you would like. I agree. I think there's untapped efficiency potential. I love Luke Richard Mbamute.
He is not prominently involved in that offense.
Well, no. There's only two guys that are prominently involved in the offense.
Exactly. That's the problem.
I really like Larry Sanders. I'm an Ilyasova guy.
Ilyasova is not good anymore.
He's had a rough 2 months and started to come out of it, so he's just done. It's over.
Well, I mean, we're basing this off of a great 2 months that he had at the end of last year, which...
No, we're talking about he had a great 2 months following a really solid year and prior. He'd shown a lot of flashes. He just put it together at the end of last year. And, look, I'm not saying he's going to be great. I just, you know, I think that when... And, again, he's had some better games lately.
The fact that he got that contract is...
That's fine.
Kind of incredible.
I'm okay with saying that the contract was a mistake.
And I really don't think he should be playing over John Henson.
That's fair. I think their roster accumulation of bigs is a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, but Larry Sanders has been terrific.
Yeah. No, he's been a nice surprise.
Yeah.
He still doesn't make watching them fun.
Tobias Harris is fun to watch. I like Tobias Harris a lot.
When does he? I don't feel like he plays nearly enough.
Maybe not, but. I don't know. I just feel like everyone's. I think it's a self-fulfilling prophecy where everyone kind of thinks, oh, the Bucks are terrible, and so you watch them and you're like, oh, they're terrible. And I'm like, I don't know. Watching them versus the Celtics most times is more fun.
There's no way.
Who's fun on the Celtics?
Rondo's fun. KG's fun.
KG's not fun.
Are you
KG's
serious?
Efficient. KG's lethally efficient.
He is not
KG
fun.
KG shoots pick and pop 18 footers and a turnaround J from the left mid post.
Wait. If you get to name crappy offensive players that are good on defense, then I get to name KG as a fun player to watch.
Fair enough.
I would say.
Anyway, Skiles is gone. They parted ways. David Aldridge had a report yesterday. We talked about it on CBSSports.com about how basically Skiles had already decided that he was out. That he was going to leave at the end. I did kind of start wondering yesterday because he. The report said that Skiles basically told them, you know, they weren't offering extension, and Skiles was kind of like, no, it's all right. That's fine. It's always good when a coach is like, no, you don't have to keep paying me. I'm all right with that.
Like, sure, we'll lock you up long term. No, I'm good.
No, you know, don't worry about it. You have to print off the paper.
Yeah, I've got dinner plans at some point in the next 4 years.
And then Yahoo reports yesterday that he, quote, hated his team. Which I said, oh, so it's like the majority of Bucks fans.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing.
I think Bucks fans hate it, but I think it's mostly because Bucks fans have unrealistic expectations. Like, Bucks fans want to be the Thunder. They want that core. Everybody, all those teams, like the small market Midwestern.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's here in Minneapolis. People are like, oh, we can become the Thunder. It's like, nah, you really can't.
No, you really can't. Jeremy from Basketball, a friend of ours and a really smart dude, doesn't think that they're going to blow anything up. He thinks instead that they're going to buckle down. That this means the organization believes this team can do something. Skiles didn't, so they moved Skiles and Skiles wanted to walk.
Yes.
So they can make a run with it. I don't know. I think that they get to the end and management/ownership is basically like, well, John Hammond's not coming back. They're going to do a fire sale. I can see them doing a fire sale pretty easily.
I think it depends on... Who comes in after John Hammond? Like, I don't think they're doing anything before John Hammond is let go.
If Ellis gives you an indication that he's going to opt out, that he's going to execute his early termination option, you trade him.
Yeah, but is he going to do that before mid-February? I mean, I think we see that a lot where teams just think, oh, he's not going to terminate, or oh, we can convince him to stay because we have his bird rights, like... I think maybe he'll get sign-and-trade this summer. I don't see him getting moved before the deadline. I mean, that would really shock me.
I think either he or Jennings will go.
I just don't see the point of
why. I don't think that you fail to extend Jennings. You choose not to extend Jennings and allow him in a restricted free agency with the way that they Because, I mean, that's the whole sense I'm getting, is that this team is kind of like with the fans, where they're just like, you know what, this isn't working. Like this.
Right, but they have all of the upper hand with Jennings. So I don't get why, like, if he was going to be an unrestricted free agent, I would agree with you. But restricted free agents.
I don't think it's that's the question here. I think with them, it's very. I honestly think it's a matter of we don't know whether we want to keep him or not.
Right, and that's why you can work out a sign and trade. I mean, they don't have to make a decision on those guys at all right now.
I don't know. I think it'd be kind of interesting. I actually kind of like to see them just liquidate everything. Trade Jennings, trade Ellis, trade D'Alembert.
God, if there is a team out there that will take D'Alembert, that GM deserves to be fired.
Of course there's a team that will take D'Alembert. It's a big. We've seen this before. It's a veteran center.
Yeah, but he sucks.
The Celtics would throw themselves at that. They wouldn't give anybody up because they think too highly of all their players.
There is nothing to give up for Samuel D'Alembert. They could give a second round pick. That would be a steal. A steal for Milwaukee.
D'Alembert was like one of the most coveted free agents too.
Right. Because that was the only big that was out there.
What's so awful about him? When I've seen him, he's been fine. He's not great. He's just fine.
I think that he is wildly overrated on defense. I don't think he rotates well.
You got a little bit of the vitriol this morning.
No, I feel like, I mean, he's just not a good player in any kind of extended minutes. I don't understand. I don't get the allure. I get the allure of having him in theory, but you watch him on the court and I'm just like, he's not good at catching the ball. Like, that's the problem I have. If a big man can't catch the ball, I don't understand the point of it. I also think it's funny that his Twitter name, he still has 76ers in it. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
That's fantastic to me. That might be because he hasn't tweeted since 2009.
I mean, so you think that they basically stand pat, nothing happens, they bring in a new GM, and they start making moves?
I kind of do, just because they are 500 right now. They could conceivably make the playoffs in the East.
They've played well. I don't understand why everyone is ignoring this. Like, they were second in the East like 3 weeks ago, like 2.5 weeks ago.
And now they're eighth.
That's mostly because a lot of the East kind of improved.
Right, and they're not that good. That's like me saying, hey, Orlando was 2-1. What? Well, I don't get why everyone's so down on them.
Well, all I'm saying is, like, Brooklyn made this crazy run. The Pacers made this crazy run. You expect that. The Pacers are obviously better.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not sure Brooklyn's better than them right now.
Oh, they're definitely better. I think they're definitely better. Not as deep, but better. I think their top heaviness is much. I mean, just because I don't think. I guess it depends on what the. Who's the interim coach? Is it going to be Frank Hamblin or?
It's Boylan.
Frank Boylan, like, I don't know. That guy, when he was coaching Chicago, did not overly impress me.
That was what made me nuts, because they're not bringing in another coach.
Yeah,
they're just riding it out, that's why I'm like, okay, if you're gonna do that, you need a tank.
Yeah, that I agree with.
There's no reason to bring in a coach you know you're not gonna win with a roster you obviously don't think you can win with.
I feel like he's very Skiles-ish in his hatred for rookies,
right?
And so, if they ran with a team of like a starting lineup of Jennings, Monte, Tobias Harris, John Henson, Larry Sanders, I'd be all over that. Because at least you're cultivating, you're still trying to figure out what that backcourt can do while building with a young front court, who I think actually, like, I wouldn't have thought this about Larry Sanders before this year, but he's showing a really, really incredible ability to protect the rim and not just like wildly blocking shots that while giving up, you know, huge.
You can just say JaVale, Zach.
No, I was actually thinking of Darko. he's not screwing up their defense by going to blocking shots. Like, it's very Roy Hibbert like. Not that he is Roy Hibbert, but in that kind of controlled protection of the rim.
Yeah.
Which I don't think a lot of big men have anymore. And so with what he's shown at least defensively, I would just love to see a defensive front court of Harris, Henson, and Sanders just to see really what they can do. And then if you're bringing Ilyasova off the bench, you know, in limited roles, six-man type thing, I like him. You have Mbah Mute off the bench, who I really like. Less Marquise Daniels. And then you've got Baino and Dunleavy off the bench. Like, that's a decent core if you use them properly.
To your credit, by the way, I was looking at stuff last night. They have a negative efficiency differential. So that's as strong an indication as anything of where they're at.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a minus 1.8, so.
Yeah, that's not... I mean, it's not good. It's better than I thought it would be. I figured they'd be around 3.
Yeah, no, it's not awful. Well, I mean, 3, you're getting into the Sixers. The Sixers are minus 3.5.
Right. What are the Blazers? They're like minus 2?
Yeah, minus 2.1.
A lot of smoke and mirrors in the NBA right now.
A lot of smoke and mirrors. Damian Lillard's really great. Just saying. That's funny, though, because Kevin Pelton had a thing yesterday on ESPN. Kevin Pelton of Basketball Prospectus talking about how the Blazers, there was almost no chance that they were going to sustain.
Yeah.
Because there's no way they could keep winning close games, and they beat the Magic in overtime. It's funny, too, because you can just tell Blazers fans being like, yeah, take that. And like everyone, like all of us that cover the league wide know, like, yeah, this is going to work out.
Yeah.
They're gonna wind up dropping like 4 straight close games. the other reason that I need them to liquidate Monta Ellis is because I very badly want a package of him, Mike Dunleavy, and one of their bigs for Rudy Gay, Jared Bayless, and Wayne Ellington. That's the Rudy trade I want. Because if Memphis does this deal and does a cash dump, I'm going to lose it.
So you want to get rid of Rudy Gay to bring in Monta Ellis?
No, I don't want to get rid of Rudy Gay. But if I'm going to get rid of Rudy Gay, have you seen some of the deals that have been suggested for Rudy Gay?
No, I stay away from that stuff.
Well, you better get used to it, because that's what we're doing on Ion Basketball for the next 3 months, buddy. Welcome to the show. Someone on Twitter suggested to me, a tweet Verani suggested to me, Alan Anderson. It was Alan Anderson and who else was it? I think Amir.
For Rudy?
Rudy Gay. No, it was Calderon. It was Calderon and Alan Anderson.
They have Mike Conley. Why would they need Calderon?
I don't know.
Raptors fans are... They're a special group. They're fun.
I mean, like, some of the deals, and it's being offered, it's being talked about, basically, because Memphis is making a lot of noise about, we just want to dump the salary.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, way to kill your entire... Like, way to kill all of your leverage.
All of your leverage and all the momentum you had coming off the last 2 years.
I mean, you know, Zach Lowe's article on Grantland, he was the first to report that they were shopping him. And it's, you know, the Timberwolves package is just, I'm trying to think who it is.
It would have to be Kirilenko, right?
Yeah, it's Kirilenko.
Yeah, I'm already
right now, or JJ Barea.
I'm already declining.
What?
First of all, they're not trading Ridenour and Barea.
No, it's one or the other.
I don't think they're trading either of them. Not until Rubio shows that he is. I mean, he's going to play tonight, most likely. Not until he shows that he can play. Like, they're just not going to rely on Rubio being a full time backup right now, without any kind of depth. And Shved is not like. Shved has a good number of assists. He does not run the offense at all. He's not a point guard. So this idea that, oh, Shved can play some two, like, no, or can play some one, no, he can't.
Well, you told me that before yesterday when I put him number 2 on the Rookie of the Year list.
Which is fine. This is the problem. Like, it doesn't mean this is your final. Like, if you look at what has been out there this season, like, Lillard is clearly number 1. Anthony Davis hasn't played enough. He's played in 20 games.
God, he was good last night, though.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be the best rookie of this class. But he's only played 20 games. Andre Drummond is asked to literally do nothing. Like, Andre Drummond's role on the team is just be out there and be big. He has no responsibility at all. So, yeah, his per-minute numbers are really good. But he has – everything is gravy with him. So, like, I have a problem rewarding players like that. And then after that, who – like, who's been, like, NKG's been good. There's an argument of him over Shved, and this is not me being a Timberwolves homer. Trust me. I give zero, like, I think Rookie of the Year, I've completely come around on this. Like, Rookie of the Year is one of the dumber awards that means next to nothing. Like, it means one thing for that year, and it means nothing going forward. Like, I think there are enough Rookie of the Year winners over the years that show the award is nice for that moment, but means nothing after that moment.
Hold on, I got the sound of Tyreek Evans' soul dying right here. Let me turn that down.
Mike
Miller. Getting back to Gay, like, some of these other options? Korver, Devin Harris, and a first-round pick.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't they get Josh Smith if they're going to... Like, wouldn't you rent Josh Smith for the rest of the year and then let him walk in free agency and maybe try to, like, get a player and a pick for him in a sign-and-trade? So why are they just going to take, like, two role players and a pick?
Because they want the salary dump. That's the entire idea. They want the salary dump.
Man, John Hollinger is ruining this team.
Oh, God.
Seriously. They've been terrible since he took over.
I mean, yeah, and like, Toronto's being heavily mentioned is like, oh, but look, Jose Calderon's like, I'm like, no one, there is no reason for Jose Calderon to be on this team other
at all.
Than for him and Marc Gasol to hang out.
Are they keeping Jared Bayless in this scenario?
In a lot of them. Not in the one I want.
No, but in the Calderon scenario?
Yeah.
Why would you have Conley, Calderon, and Bayless?
And Tony Roten.
And Tony Roten!
And Wayne Ellington.
Oh my God.
I know.
What a horrific idea.
Do you understand? This is why I'm aiming for the Utah, for the Milwaukee deal, rather. Oh, here's another one. Marvin Williams, Rajah Bell, Alec Burks, and the Warriors pick. Shoot me.
Actually, I kind of hope that one happens.
And Marvin Williams goes to the Grizzlies. For Rudy Gay.
500 days of Marvin.
500 days of Marvin. And you know I'll fall for it, too.
Games,
I'll be like, you know, I really think he understands what this team's about.
He'll hit back-to-back corner threes. You're like, you know what?
This guy.
Should we look at tonight's games?
Well, yeah, let's do it.
I actually like most of the slate. You've got Suns at your skyless Bucks.
So I looked at this. That was the first thing I looked at last night after Skiles walked away. Is I immediately was like, what's the line on the next Bucks game?
Yeah.
And they're only giving 6 to the Suns. It was 5.5 last night, and it's only gone up to 6.
Oh, you got to take those points and run with the Bucks.
You take the. You give those points and you run. Run. Fire coach, you know, fire slash resign coach theory. Like,
oh, yeah.
Every time.
Oh, no. This is an 18 point win.
This is an 18 point win for Milwaukee.
Yeah.
At home, players want to prove that they're not the reason that Skiles left.
Yeah. No, that's easy money. Bet your child's college fund on this.
One of my Australian followers on Twitter was like, I'm taking out a second mortgage. Nets Sixers in the battle of wah wah. Sixers are giving 1.5 at home.
Wow. It's like
they are not good.
It's like nobody knows PJ Carlissimo is the best coach in basketball right now. Have they lost since he took over?
Yeah.
They did?
The Spurs, I think.
That's right. Yeah, the Spurs. Okay.
You know what? When you think without Bynum, the Sixers are like a weird version of the Nets. Like Drew Holiday, Darren Williams, Thaddeus Young, Gerald Wallace, Nick Young, Joe Johnson,
Kwame Brown, Reggie Evans.
Yeah, Kwame Brown, Reggie Evans, Spencer Hawes, Brooke Lopez.
I mean, that's really messed up to compare Brooke and Spencer.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, though. It's like they're a crappy version. If Brooke was not good, he would be Spencer Hawes.
That makes Royal Ivy CJ Watson.
Yeah.
I don't know if I feel good for Royal Ivy there or if I feel bad for him. I've been anti-CJ Watson for a long time, and I will admit he has turned himself into a decent, let's just say, a decent backup.
He's a fine backup point guard.
Nobody I'd ever want on my team, but you can get by with him. Still, I still don't... Like, people get crazy about, like, him and John Lucas III.
Yep.
And I don't get it.
Because they're Bulls fans?
Oh, yeah, by people I meant Bulls fans.
The same Bulls fans that constantly are like, no, this team matches up really well at the Heat. That's all I hear is this team matches up really well at the Heat.
They don't. Like, I mean, they can win a game with, as we've seen, like, in the past, like...
They won one game, and then the Heat destroyed them.
Yeah, like, they can get a game off of, you know, just pounding the offensive boards and really dominating inside, but Miami's too good. Like, they just adjust to that after that game. So unless we're doing one-game playoffs, I don't see how that happens.
Miami, Indiana at home is getting 2.5.
I kind of feel like this is... I feel like Miami wins this game pretty easily. And I like the way the Pacers have been playing lately.
Yeah, I've liked how the Pacers have been playing too. I took the Heat just because I feel like... I don't know, it's impossible to predict when Miami's going to lose it, when they're just going to kind of fall apart.
Yeah, and that's the thing. This isn't... Picking Miami, I feel like, isn't a knock on Indiana. I think it's just... You pick Miami until they have that game where they just don't care.
Yeah.
And you just kind of ride it out that way. And it's not that the Pacers aren't good and they're not good at home. Like, they're very good at home. It's just... If Miami decides to be Miami, you don't have a chance, really.
The over-under is 187.
Ooh.
I took the over, but I'm not feeling good about it.
That's a point total I would probably pick exactly. Can you push? I would just push.
I mean, you're talking, you know, he went by 13. That's 187. That sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds exactly right.
Your Timberwolves, was a pick'em, and it's moved this morning to the Wolves are giving one at home to the Hawks.
They're giving a point?
They're giving. They're favored.
Oh, no.
I was surprised when it was a pick'em. Yeah. I didn't understand why it wasn't Hawks 2.5.
Oh, that's not good. Unless
it's not good for Atlanta. I'll tell you that. That's what it's not good for. Because if Vegas is like no love, Rubio coming back off of after back spasms, no Chase Budinger, nothing but JJ Barea, Luke Ridenour, and Pekovic.
I mean,
some Shvedi Shved.
To be fair, this Hawks team did get, as I was reminded by Bo Cherny of. It was a Hawks hoop.
Peachtree Hoops, I think.
They this Hawks team did get destroyed by Jeremy Pargo. Which, I mean, I'd like to think that JJ Barea is a better player than Jeremy Pargo. It's possible.
Yeah, I got the Hawks.
Yeah, I would take the Hawks too.
Yeah, I got the Hawks.
I don't think the Timberwolves are headed for a bad place, unless Rubio has a unicorn moment for the next 2 months. I don't like where this is going.
And the disaster game of the night, the train wreck everyone's gonna be craning their neck at.
I'm so excited for this.
Rockets at home, 7.5 favorites against the Los Angeles Lakers. The over-under is 218.5.
I'm a little annoyed that this isn't a late game, that they couldn't just move this to the Staples Center and have it be like a 10:30 game, 10:30 right. Eastern game, because it's going on the exact same time as Hawks Timberwolves, so I'm gonna have to come home and watch the replay. But I'm really excited for this. Like, we've got Sacre called up from the D League. You've got Earl Clark playing. You've got Anton Jameson playing. This is gonna be fantastic. Kobe's taking 48 shots.
There's starting lineup tonight, very well could be Steve Nash, Kobe Bryant, Earl Clark, Antoine Jameson, Meta World Peace. They're talking about playing MWP at center.
I would. I actually like that against the Rockets. That's a big, strong body to put on a Sheik. And he knows. I mean, he knows how to use positioning and root guys out. Yeah, this was the one thing that I was really impressed with in their last game. Is yeah, Dwight Howard grabbed 26 rebounds, but Ron Artest was in there on every play, just boxing the hell out of guys. Like, I think I actually like that matchup against Ashiq. I think Ashiq probably wins it, but I like the strategy behind it. I'm all for Crazy Ron playing big.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. One last thing before we go. Just came out, Adam Lund's not going to be with the team.
Yeah, he had personal reasons, missed practice yesterday.
That's why the Hawks are going to lose.
That's why the Hawks are going to lose?
Yeah.
You're buying the Terry Porter Kool-Aid?
I'm buying the anytime the coach is missing. First game after a coach is not there. It doesn't matter what the reason is for. Temporary absence, fired, whatever.
Wow.
I think the Rockets won their first game without McHale.
Yeah. Wow. I'm just going to disagree.
If this happens, it's gonna be this is a theory. Now, if this happens, we're making this thing into a thing.
We'll have 3,000 words on it tomorrow.
Okay, so in conclusion, Melo's crazy. Everyone hates the Bucks. that might be the name of the podcast. Everyone hates the Bucks.
Everyone hates the Bucks, and Ron Artest for center.
And Ron Artest for center.
All right, thanks, man.